Today on Real Radio.
Israel was doing great with God. Then they got very content. They got wealthy. They got complacent. And they began to slip back into the old temptations. And they began to entertain pagan and foreign gods. And they began to adopt those things. And God cries out to them. They won't listen. And then they go into apostasy from God. God sends judgment, because he always sends judgment to his kids when they drift from him. If they don't listen, he'll send judgment. And they would not listen. He sends the Philistines to judge them.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 13, where Samson is mentioned. Now, Samson was a man used of the Almighty, to be sure, but he had a bit of a problem. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his series called Staying Fit for the Master's Use.
Manoah and his wife, they're residing in the north of Israel. They're Danites, the scriptures tell us here in Judges 13. That is, they're of the tribe of Dan in the north. But what has happened is that the Philistines established five key cities that they operated out from and began to take control of Israel and the Jewish people. And this happened because Israel, and you know by now, you've been in this study in Judges with us, that Israel was doing great with God. Then they got very content, they got wealthy, they got complacent, and they began to slip back into the old temptations, and they began to entertain pagan and foreign gods, and they began to adopt those things. And God cries out to them, they won't listen, and then they go into apostasy from God. God sends judgment, because he always sends judgment to his kids when they drift from him. If they don't listen, he'll send judgment. And they would not listen. He sends the Philistines to judge them. And now the judgment has been going on for about 40 years now. And so God calls this the last judge, Samson, judge number 9, if you're keeping count. And God will call him. From the womb, by the way, God will call him. And so we were looking last time that Samson couldn't have had a better start. I mean, if he was born with the proverbial silver or golden spoon in his mouth, he had it. His announcement was made by none other than the angel of the Lord, which is a theophanies of Christ Jesus, pre-incarnate, before his arrival at Bethlehem. He speaks to Manoah's wife. He speaks to Manoah, and what is declared is radical. It is an awesome miracle. And so now we have this man, and Samson is coming into the world. And he's going to be a man who, again, had a great start, but he's unbridled. He's unbridled in discipline. He's unbridled with his lust. He is, and we know this from history, that when he comes or becomes judge, he's about 19 to 20 years of age. It's always dangerous when a man is 19 to 20 years of age. A lot of stuff going on up there and in other places. And if God is not controlling your life, you can get into big, big trouble. And we'll be looking at this tonight. So some things to consider. The lessons that we are learning from his life is, number one, that he's a Nazarite. He is one who his parents dedicated him to God because the angel of the Lord said, he shall be a Nazarite. You say, what is that? A Nazarite, an order. It is a life devoted. And not only would Samson not drink wine and have certain foods and meats, it was a very strict dietary calling in his life, but what he wore and regarding his hair. Remember, John the Baptist was a man very interesting because he had all this hair unshaven, undone. He was like kind of a wild man. But it's interesting to note that regarding these various sects or devotions that we find in the Jewish culture, that a Nazirite is one that's extremely strict to what they wear, to what they do regarding their hair, what they eat and cannot eat. And not only is that dedicated or devoted to Samson, but his own mother. She's not to violate any of these things during the pregnancy. And so this, again, he's consecrated to God. And so we'll be looking at a life of the believer consecrated to God. So if you're a note taker tonight, I want you to jot down a few things. When we talk about being consecrated, what does that mean? We have the tendency to think that it's such an old English word. And if you're young tonight, you're thinking, man, consecrated, what? What is that word? Well, listen, it's a very important word. What consecrated or being consecrated means is this. It means to be devoted or to be dedicated to. It means that you can be consecrated by the will of another, in this case with Samson, his parents. You can be dedicated as a child. We see that happening on Sunday mornings when a parent will bring up their child, will dedicate them unto the Lord, or we consecrated unto the Lord. But the act of consecration is a conditional agreement or arrangement. A parent can dedicate their child unto the Lord. As an adult, you can dedicate yourself unto the Lord, but it is conditional based upon your commitment to keep that true. Now, as a child, it is a great thing to dedicate your child unto the Lord, to consecrate them, to give them the Word of God, to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And maybe you've been brought up like that. You've been brought up and taught, and you can remember your parents singing songs and showing, teaching you how to pray. You would see them following God. And just by observation, in a sense, your home was consecrated unto the Lord, and you were as well. But as you get older, you can break that consecration. That's something that you think, well, wait a minute, Jack, my parents consecrated me, and now I'm 19 to 20 years of age. I'm an absolute lunatic running around the world doing whatever I want, sowing my wild oats. Aren't I not still consecrated to God? Answer, no, not exactly. Because when you were young, you were covered by your parents' devotion and their offering of you up unto the Lord. But if you are now of that age of being accountable to God on your own, guess who's responsible? So stop blaming mom and dad. You're now responsible. And so that is very, very important. Also this, what being consecrated does not mean. Consecration is not a fix-all, that a person who was in their early years is forever consecrated to God and grows up in a life later rejecting God. You cannot then say, well, I was saved once and now I've lost my salvation. That's not what it means. That's not what consecration means. Samson was consecrated to God by his parents. Samson strayed from the will of God, and it appears in his latter years he came back, maybe. We'll look at that in future studies. But what does consecration look like? And contrary to what we think, when we think of Samson, and maybe if you look at any child kind of cartoon books about the man Samson, he's incredibly buffed. He's got muscles coming out of muscles. He's this guy that, oh, look, that's Samson. It's obvious. He's got these big gold, beautiful bands around his wrist, and he's, you know, just incredible looking. Got a headband, sweatband kind of thing, these incredible locks of hair, and he's Samson. But listen, that's not what he looked like. I don't know what he looked like, but he was not a buffed guy. His strength was not in his stature. His strength was in God. God would come upon him. And this is very encouraging, especially for those of you who are young. You know, life is certainly absolutely fallen. Life is wrong. It's upside down. I can't wait to go see Jesus or for Jesus to come back to make it all right because it's absolutely lopsided now. Why? Because as I get older, I have more ideas on how to serve the Lord than I did when I was younger. Problem is, my carcass will not keep up with what I want to do now. Those of you who are young, I beg of you, pray, seek God's face, go to prayer with a notebook and a pen, write down what God is saying. All the old people are going, yep, yep, yep. Because let me tell you, if we could live life all over again, we would back up and be more devoted to God than we ever have been and start sooner. Amen. Did you young people just hear that big amen? from all these old guys. I'm telling you right now, it is the greatest thing in the world to be able to be young and to be fully devoted to God. What do we do instead? We waste our strength, we waste our energies and our passions, all because our heart is not consecrated to God, and we squander this strength of ours. We squander the time that we have on things that don't matter. And it's a heartbreak. So listen to some of us old guys who don't pay for any of your stuff. We're not your parents. Listen to us. I don't have to listen to you. No, listen. I'm a stranger to you. You're not my kid. I can tell you right up. Listen, devote yourself to God. Do that very, very thing. So what consecration looks like is a life that is devoted. And in this case, Samson was devoted to God, given to God, consecrated to God, but his hormones, his desires, got him away from God. The first words recorded out of his mouth was, "I saw a woman." How'd you like to have that written down in the Bible about you? First words, "I saw a woman." Not a good start. But isn't that so much like our day today in the world in which we live? We looked last time at lesson number one about consecration and what's at stake. And we learned that this was at stake, and it's amazing because thousands and thousands of years ago, what was at stake in Samson's day is exactly the same thing that's at stake in our day today. And that was this: the continuation of a nation was at stake. And I mentioned this last time, and we even showed you some things. Remember, we showed you some things from the Westminster School District about how our culture is changing. I had it, by the way, you may not have appreciated those things that I showed you last week, I don't know, but a school teacher came up to me last week after service and said, "Thank you for showing that. I have to contend with that every week in my class. We have the least amount of American history being taught in our schools right now, and the history of other nations at the expense of our own nation being expelled from being taught." And I really appreciated her comment, but we're talking about a nation being at stake. Samson's nation was at stake. Our nation is at stake. And how's it going to change? How's it going to come around? By people standing in the gap. God called Samson to be a judge of Israel, to bring them out of the occupation and the shift that had gone on in their culture for some 40 years. Not only the continuation of a nation was at stake, but the freedom of a people was at stake. The Jews were looking at being obliterated from the face of the earth unless God intervenes. Right now, I saw in the news tonight, by the way, getting ready to come here, that all this stuff that's coming out now, all these things that are shaking in the earth, Iran regarding its nuclear program is back on the conveyor belt again. North Korea pretty soon, supposedly we're going to be able to see it in the sky. I'd like to see this. They're going to do a missile launch out of North Korea. It's going to fly right over directly Hawaii and heading towards either LA or San Francisco. I don't know about you, but that makes me a little uncomfortable. Why don't you practice your missile in some other direction? Why do they want to see if it's going to reach here? Russia is reconstituting its navy. And of all places, in the Mediterranean, just north of Israel, in Lebanon, they're building a great military seaport. A lot of things going on, a lot of shaking going on. You see, well, Jack, what does that have to do with anything? We're Americans. We're going to last forever. I'm sure. Great cultures. I'm sure the Romans said the same thing, and the Egyptians said the same thing. Listen, when God is no longer a welcome in a society, that society's on their own. And it's a very critical thing. A freedom of a people was at stake. So now we come to lesson in our study, lesson number two. Lesson number two is consecration in this aspect, having ears to hear. And jot this down if you would, especially you young ones, you need to hear this. Having ears to hear, and that is what the Lord is speaking. What the Lord is speaking, God is speaking. And what does it mean when we say that the Lord is speaking? Here in the Bible, it tells us that the angel of the Lord spoke to Manoah and his wife and told them about the life and ministry of their son Samson. God speaks. The Bible's very clear about that. But listen, there is a language that the Lord speaks with. And there's a way that he says things. Now, if I'm here tonight and I'm a skeptic, I'm going to say things like this. Maybe it's in your mind. Jack, when you say God speaks, what on earth do you mean? Do you hear him speak? I have never heard God speak the way you're thinking. I think you're thinking, Jack, this is the Lord. I've never heard that. God speaks in a language that is extremely clear. You know it's him. There is no denying it. But for me personally, I've never heard him audibly. Frankly, once he speaks, you don't need to hear him audibly. Because when he speaks the way that I'm going to be talking about here in a second, it is absolutely crystal clear. Now, granted, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah and his wife, they couldn't figure out at first, especially Manoah. I mean, she got it down, right? Mrs. Manoah, we don't know her name, but Mrs. Manoah got it. Manoah didn't get it so quick. He called him a man a few times. Apparently, the Lord looked like a normal man. Remember the Bible, Peter warns us to watch out how we treat people. Did you know that? The Bible says, watch out in this life how you treat strangers because you could be speaking to an angel. Wouldn't that freak you out? God decided, I'm going to test Jack today and I'm going to have an angel walk by him and whatever. That's kind of terrifying, isn't it? Be nice to people. Could be an angel you're being nice to. Should be nice to everybody, but you're extra nice to angels. That's a more... But obviously God spoke to them face to face in the person of Jesus Christ, known as a Theophanes, and they heard him. That's obvious. We saw him last week. Remember when he stepped into the fire when they made the offering? He steps into the flames. That is awesome. And he began to ascend up into heaven on the billows and on the flames of that fire. It was the angel of the Lord. It was Christ in the Old Testament. But what about us today when God speaks to us today? People will say, man, you Christians drive me nuts. You guys freak me out. You scare me because you're talking about God talking to you. A lot of people get locked up for saying that in other places. I heard God speak. Oh, okay, we're going to take you away. So what do we mean? Well, first of all, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 says, God, who at various times and various ways spoken times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. I love that. Jesus is the creator. Verse 3, who, being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. Also this, John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. And when God speaks, he'll speak concerning the Scriptures, concerning the Bible, using the Bible, never contradicting the Bible. But how he speaks is absolutely amazing. And it's this way. Listen carefully. When God begins to speak, he will do it in a sense and in a way that if you're a non-believer, let's say you have no thoughts about God whatsoever, God will speak to you, granted, in a limited way. He chooses to be limited at that time. But he'll speak to a non-believer, and sometimes it will be conviction. He'll convict you of something that you're doing. And he's not doing that to beat you up. He's trying to get your attention. He'll speak to you through people, through situations. There may be times that he'll speak to you in a dream. You may see something. You'll hear something. A thought will enter your mind. This is, I think, is most pronounced. A thought will enter your mind, and it's not normal. And you'll wonder, why am I thinking about this? Maybe as a non-believer, you'll become incredibly fearful about death. And normally you wouldn't think that. What's going on? God is trying to get your attention. But what about being a Christian? What about being a believer who in the Bible he's promised to speak to? God also speaks in what the Scriptures talk about is that still, small, quiet voice. That's the voice that I'm talking about. It's not that he's whispering. It's a voice that is not audible, but when he speaks, you can't deny it. And the amazing thing is this, as a new believer, it's amazing. God's grace is huge. A new believer, a person, brand new believer, they will, without even knowing their Bible, God will be so speaking to them. And many of you, maybe all of you were once new believers, which now today you're an older believer. Do you remember when we were first saved? Do you remember those early days, how it was incredibly, we were in tune. God was everywhere in everything. And we were hearing him, but we weren't hearing him. And somebody would knock on our door or show us or hand us something, and it was spiritually off. Like, come and join my cult. And you didn't know any theology, but it was like, something's wrong. Do you remember that? Something's wrong. And then if you remember, as you've grown in Christ, there was a weaning of that. There was less and less of that. But at the same time, as more and more Bible took hold in your life, you became even more discerning. But it was more based upon the revealed word of God, the Bible. So that the more Bible you consumed, the more you heard him speak to you with that strong imprint of his will. It's awesome. And if you know what I'm talking about, then you totally do not know what I'm talking about. Because you got to be a believer to know this. It's amazing. He speaks using the word of God. That's all powerful. In fact, the Bible tells us in John 14:16, Jesus said, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus said. I will come to you. How does Jesus continue his ministry of teaching us when he's in heaven? He said, when I leave, by the way, we know Jesus got to heaven. How do we know? Because on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit. He said, when I get up there, I'll pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. The word in Greek is parakletos, para, alongside, kletos, to comfort or to bring aid. I will bring one alongside you that will bring comfort and aid to you other than myself. So how is it? Jesus is in heaven, but the Holy Spirit is with us forever and he's with us right now. He's in this room, he's everywhere, and he's in the life and the existence of a believer. And what does he do? He speaks the word of God to the believer. When somebody says, I can't hear God speak, first thing I'm going to say to you is, are you reading your Bible? Now, this is a very, very pathetic illustration I'm going to give you, because if there was ever an apples to oranges comparison, it's this one I'm going to give you. It's very, very lame. But think of this. Have you noticed that wherever you're at, and if it's an elevator, it's doubly wrong, that the last song you hear going out of the elevator sticks in your head all day until you hear another song to replace it? You ever have that happen? You have? You and I have? They haven't. You and I have. That's good. That sticks in your head. As that sticks in your head, it'll drive you crazy. As you read the Bible, even though you may not be hearing the Bible, the amazing thing about your soul and the spirit and the way that you're made, there's an imprint made. So don't tell me music's not powerful. But when the Word of God is digested and meditated upon, oh Christians, if we would resurrect the practice and discipline of meditation.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. It's actually a mini-series taken from the 13th chapter of the Old Testament book of Judges, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. We've also been telling you about Pastor Jack's teaching series called Life and the Bible. It's a collection of presentations by our teacher on DVD, and some of the subtitles, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, Being a Christian at Your Job. Recently, we told you about being a Christian while being a husband. Well, now we're telling you about being a Christian while being a wife. Here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be glad to send you Pastor Jack's presentation on DVD called Being a Christian While Being a Wife. Ask for it by title, Being a Christian While Being a Wife. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.